Jon Stewart is back at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Hey, friends, welcome to the U Up podcast. It is Thursday, cruising through the week. It's flying by. Andrew is here with me all week long. It's been such a joy to have him here. We make really good roommates.
Yeah. We're perfect at ignoring each other.
When we need to. We
could feel the energy of leave me alone. I'm doing my thing.
Yep.
Neither one of us are needy.
Nap a lot. So I never feel like, oh, I'm disappointing him by wanting to not do something. Nap as much as each other.
I mean, usually when there's a guest that comes into your hometown, there's more of a feeling like I got to show them the arch.
Yes.
And neither one of us want to see the arch. I don't care about the arch.
I don't want to show you I don't even want to walk it to the pool in my backyard and be like, look at that, let alone take you to.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to see some of the monuments that got ripped down recently. That'd be a pretty cool tour.
Yeah.
The ripped down monument. Has any monuments been taken down in St. Louis?
I don't think so. I'm sure there's racist men being uplifted around the city. I mean, that's all that statues are. I don't think that any of them, but who knows?
I bet you whoever found St. Louis is probably, everyone was racist, I feel like.
Right. I haven't heard of any, but we could just go take some down tonight.
Oh, that'd be so much fun.
It'd be so hard. When I hear about these people dismantling these things, I'm like, God, that's a lot of fucking work. it like exhausts me.
Well, I just want to like
people talk. Are so motivated.
I want to talk to some of these people and be like, you can't look on Wikipedia. You can't Google it. Who is this guy and why are you ripping him down? And name some positives and negatives things that he did.
Right.
And I bet you some of them are like, I just had the hits. I just had the fucking. I was in my
it's
house for
fun.
A while.
It's just fun.
Yeah, it's like cow, cow tipping in Florida.
Mm-hmm. Those are racist cows. They always take down the ones that are racist.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've contributed to systemic racism. Systemic.
The ones that were more white than black, had more white spots than black spots, we would push over. Yep. We never push over.
Did you ever go cow tipping?
No, I'd be too scared.
For what? To get caught?
To get caught. You're on someone else's land. Everyone has a gun in Florida.
Yeah.
My stepbrother got caught stealing mushrooms. I got a brand new car, and he took my car the first weekend without me knowing to get mushrooms and got caught by the cops.
And did you get in trouble?
No, I didn't get it. It wasn't my way.
Did he get arrested?
They let him go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's white.
Right.
And I mean, it's the whitest thing ever to.
Would you ever do mushrooms?
I've done mushrooms.
When?
A lot.
Really?
Not a lot. Probably 4 times, 5 times.
God, I'm dying to do them.
Well, you've done microdosing.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. And I've done a little. I had one little trip that was like.
I did mushrooms in high school at a movie.
Did you like it?
I loved it. And I remember looking at the exit sign a lot in the movie and like focusing on that.
Yeah.
And part of me was like,
I got to get out of here.
No, like, well, yes. Cause you always say when you're a kid, like, I don't want anyone else not high. Well, we're high. Like you don't want
anyone like harshing your buzz.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're looking at me weird. They know, man.
Yeah.
They fucking know, dude. They could tell because I'm fucking there. I know, dude, I got mushroom face.
I almost loved getting like high and like having people not know that I am. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Because when they know you are, people act so weird about it and over the top. You know, like, because I used to smoke weed so much that I was high all the time. So if like I was smoking weed around like some kind of squares, they would just be like staring at me a little too much and like laughing at everything I said. And anytime I laughed at something, they think I'm just laughing because I'm high. And it's just like, no, that's not the way it is.
Yeah. And I mean, so much of it can just be in your own head too. I remember doing mushrooms and playing like Mario Kart. And then like, I don't just nature. It's pretty cool. It really is. Like it sounds, I remember just looking at a tree.
Yeah.
And it, like the branch was coming off. So it looked like it had like a mustache, the tree. Like it was like a man.
Yeah. Like a science teacher.
Yeah. Like a science. Yeah. Yeah. Like he was holding a beaker and shit. And then I remember there was like an old couch and I just felt like it was an old man, like an old.
Everything becomes personified and
just
has
an
like
old
a.
Man. Yeah, yeah. 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 And I just remember talking to this couch and just being like, yeah, we're just talking about, you know, listening to old country music, talking about, you know, never farting in our life.
There never seems to be anything about mushrooms that make people want to do it incessantly, like every other drug seems to have, you know, chronic use. Mushrooms, it's like a one-time deal, and then you're like, I'm good until the next Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's not a drug. Well, it's not like an everyday drug. You can't really
Guess how many days I've gone without smoking weed?
I'm guessing, I mean, you know how many days?
Mm-hmm. I have an app. It's called Grounded.
I'd say 92.
What? Really? 17.
Oh. I was figuring quarantine.
I was smoking so much weed in quarantine. That's what led me to quit.
Who are you getting weed from around? Do you know, like, a teenage boy on
a
bike?
No, I have a friend who would ship me a gift package from places where it was legal.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, listen, what are you going
to
do?
No, it's funny. It's just funny, the idea of someone having to buy weed out here.
Yeah, it would have been a struggle. I mean, I could have asked my parents.
High schools, you're just like, hey, you know, well, Jeff has some. I know that.
I know. I would have just gone to gas stations and asked, like, clerks there. I feel like they would have. Everyone smokes weed. I mean, where's everyone getting it?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, you would have to.
Now, I want to ask you if you've noticed that I don't smoke weed anymore. Like, has it even occurred to you?
I think you seem more, I don't know, not much. But, like, when we were on the road, that's when I would ever notice that you were even.
Yeah, smoking. Doing it.
Yeah, and I mean,
but even when we hung out in New York in my apartment, I was always like smoking weed.
Yeah. I think you seem more level headed. But, you know, I don't know. I think you're not any more uptight.
No.
Maybe weed could actually make you higher uptight, and then then you're just Miss Fun Girl, but then you're uptight, and then there's not as much up and down, maybe.
Right. Maybe. I really haven't found any huge benefits of it, but I'm going to keep going because it's not harming me by not doing it. Although I do feel like I want to a lot because it would just instantly make me in a good mood and like more sociable. Like tonight we're going to go stand up paddleboarding at my brother-in-law's, like they have this company that does it down at some, I don't know, the boathouse in St. Louis, Missouri. And I'm dreading it because it's like social and it's a bunch of people. It's like my brother-in-law, his sister, my sister, you, the boy down the street, Grant. I invited him. And it's just like just doing social things like that really stress, like activities give me a little bit of stress.
What is the fear?
That it's never going to end.
What do you mean it's not going to end? It's almost dark anyways.
Yeah. And my sister put a time limit on it because they have babysitters. So it will end. It just feels like, why are we doing this? Why can't we all just like sit at a picnic table and talk? Why do we have to
have an activity? I love an activity. I'm like a shepherd or like a dog that like, if I was a dog, I would love a nice frisbee toss, you know?
Yes.
I don't want to just lope around.
But you do lope around and you do love just like laying on your bed on
your
side
on the
phone.
But if I'm on the beach, I want a football. I want a baseball. I want an activity. I don't like just sitting outside.
Yes.
Inside, I'm fine. I could lope around. I could be on my phone.
Yeah.
But if I'm outside, I need to be doing something.
So I'm doing an activity. I'm trying to like organize things to make life a little bit more interesting. But I would like to be high for that, but I'm not going to be. I'm going to keep going.
Do you have weed with you?
Oh, I have weed all over this house, like tons of it. I know where it's all hidden. I could be high in literally 2 minutes.
Maybe I'll smoke with you.
Really? That'll get me going. The thing is, I'm not like really that attached to being sober from weed, but I just wanted to give it a try.
Yeah.
I've got a couple like TV things coming up that I would like to be completely sober for. So I have a feeling if I dip back into it, I'll start to go, oh, maybe it would be fun to do it the day before. Like I want to be clear headed for the things I'm doing so that if I fuck up, there's no excuse. It's all on me. It's not, I don't have to be like, I have a drug addiction.
Yeah.
So,
but the drug addiction's nice because then you have a scapegoat if something doesn't go your way.
I'm not good at that. I don't like having excuses for my behavior. I want it to just be me. I don't like, I did this because of this.
Remember when that Adam Wheel, what's his name? He's the actor.
Adam.
He's on.
The girls. Adam Driver.
No,
Adam,
he was on the show. He was on the radio show. And
Pally.
And he was. And I mentioned that about like being high and being able to remember meaning. He's like, you don't change that much. Like, he was like adamant about like,
yeah, he kept me going a few more months for sure. His outlook on weed. Cause there are so many people writing me because I get really excited and energized by weed. And like, I want to do things and I want to be social. And someone wrote, and Dr. Drew, I said that on the show and he was like, that's a really adverse effect. Like, not a lot of people are like that. It's, you know, classic symptoms of like laziness and like, whoa, and playing video games and kind of checking out. Whereas I'm more checked in when I do it. And so someone wrote me saying, oh, I'm the same way. That might be like, good for you. I don't think there's any argument that weed is good for you. Like, you can't really, but these are all justifications, but.
Well, weed is good for pain. People take it instead of like OxyContin and shit. So in that aspect,
I mean, I had a traumatic thing happen this morning and I would have loved to turn to weed to like calm my nerves about it because I just was like, you know, when you have something happen and there's just no fixing it and it's just, you have to wait. Like, there's nothing you can do except wait to see if it's as bad as it's going to be. And that's something that happened to me today that you're aware of and I don't want to talk about. But, like, I wanted to go smoke weed, but instead I had Xanax and I took one. Then I had to jump on a work call where I had to be totally present about the script I'm writing. And all I could think about was the incident that I am, like, so scared about. And the whole time, and then I took two. And then I got done with the call. And I was still feeling anxious and I wanted to go on a run, but I couldn't stop thinking about it. And I did. I knew I needed to eat lunch, but I was like, you don't deserve to eat lunch. You are such a bad person. And then I was like, you need to take a third. So I took another. And like my Xanax prescription, if you're someone who takes Xanax, this is 0.25 milligrams. So it's like nothing. So I took 0.75 milligrams of Xanax total, which is like nothing, I'm guessing, but it really calmed me down. So like when I'm not smoking weed, that other stuff I have to like supplement with. What do you do for your anxiety?
No, I just find it,
I also meditated.
I was like you seem so chill still without weed and not up and down, and you're like, so I took 9 Xanax.
I haven't been doing that often. Was circumstantial, but generally
I mean, I don't know, Zoloft helps, working out helps. I got over that hump like working out. I used to be like afraid of it because it actually made me feel worse for some reason, like when I was recovering from, and I got over that hump. I started taking vitamins that, whether it's placebo or not, they seem to like be working really well for me.
Yeah.
And and I just think getting out of the city, my stress level is way lower.
Right.
I just think like those three things, eating better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it makes sense. Like, the thing is like, if you get fucked up after a traumatic thing, you're putting the band.
Oh,
on.
And
just
shelving
it.
That's what I think. I go, when I was taking those Xanax, I go, on the other side of this is just going to be the same things. But it also, I thought, you know, oftentimes when I have a traumatic thing happen, I'm so just future tripping about it, projecting all of these things that are probably not going to happen. And usually without Xanax or whatever, if you wait long enough, those fears all kind of go away and you get a little perspective. So I almost wanted to take the Xanax to get me through that time that I usually would be stressing about. And then I come out the other side and it's enough time that I can kind of...
It's like you build your own time machine.
Yes. That's exactly what it is. And that's exactly what drinking is. Anything that kind of like numbs you.
But the problem with drinking is then you're hungover and then the stress... Because you don't deal
worse.
With it.
Yeah.
Or you could just get hammered and keep getting hammered and keep pushing it down. And then 5 years later, you're crying in a subway and you're like, why? And you're like, oh, I never dealt with that thing.
Well, I did cry about my traumatic thing. Like, I felt like I processed the feelings. Like, I didn't hide them back. I called a bunch of people about it. I did everything I could to, like, feel it and feel remorse and feel scared and feel... And I like wrote people and I called people and I was like, I did everything I could do before I had to take a Xanax. Like having something traumatic happen where you're freaked out and like it's all you can think about, and then having to get on a work call to talk about a script is like, it's hard.
Yeah.
I don't know how people go through it, trauma, and then have to go to work and talk about it. You ever
they compartmentalize it.
Yeah.
My dad would do it. My dad's a cancer doctor. He would see probably someone die that he got to know over a few months. And if he brought that back, maybe he did.
Yeah, maybe he did bring it back home to you guys.
I'm just real.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it was the 15 dead cancer patients, and that's why he didn't come to my baseball game.
That could have been it. He had a lot of funerals to go to.
Yeah. You just have to, you know, you do it with so many things in your life, you know, like whether you have a bad show or we have a horrible plane flight. Turbulence is horrible. Dumb motherfuckers not wearing masks. You know what I mean? Just like we do. And then being in New York, you're constantly traumatized. These mini, you know, like mini dose of weed. That's what you're like in these cities. You like the, all these.
But do you have the mini? Do you have the trauma? Do you have the traumatic thing of I'm a bad person trauma? Like, do you ever have that where like something confirms that you're a bad person and you just know for sure? Okay, that answers the question. I'm evil, and there's no redemption, and it just like it's unequivocal evidence that you're bad.
Sure. I mean,
and that you should go away to prison or something.
I mean,
like,
I don't know about that far, but I definitely like from childhood, I definitely did some things that were fucked up. Like this one guy was going to hit a ramp on his bike and I rolled a skateboard in front of his bike.
So and you go, why did I do that?
He hit the skateboard. He flipped before he hit the ramp. Then he hit the ramp and then kept flipping and then got up and his face was just covered in blood. Ugh. And I was just like, whoop. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you don't think about like the repercussions of it. You don't think about like, and no one liked the kid. And so then that was added. But I mean, I was young. Like, yeah. There's a difference between, I think, young and dumb and then older where you're smart enough to know that the repercussion, like, yes. I would never roll this. I would maybe. You know, maybe I would. It'd be kind of right. It'd be pretty cool. But no. But like, so that's two different things. But
no, I remember doing that as a child. There's this girl that fell down from a tree and had a bunch of like scabs, like fresh scabs on her back because she had all of this, like she had her bark, like slid down a tree, barked, like scratched her back, and she had all these bloody scabs that were like just healing, and she had all these bandages. We went to the water park, and she was a cousin of my neighbor's, and we were all in this van, and I was just along for the ride as a guest. And we were all snapping each other's swimsuits. And I saw hers and I just pulled it back and snapped it. And like her scab started bleeding and she was crying and screaming. And everyone was like, why would you do that? And I was like, I saw her scabs. I knew what that could happen. Why did I do that? And I was just like, you must be a psychopath. And I couldn't, I mean, I'm still haunted by that moment of like 9.
Yeah.
Where it was like, why would I do that? And I can't.
I get it. I did something similar. Like I remember I had a football, like a football pad and we were all hitting each other with it. And there was this dude, Matt, I don't want to say his last, whatever, Matt P, Matty P. And I ran from maybe 20. He was not looking. He didn't see. Everyone was hitting each other and you could see each other. And I ran from a good 20 yards and just fucking drilled him from behind. And I remember him like not even getting mad at me. He was just like, and he was hurt and he got up and he was just like,
why would you do that?
Why would, what?
Yeah. Like, that, why would you do that? Yeah. Like what's morally wrong with you?
And I think maybe I'm projecting cause like I was mad at my dad for not going to my game. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was.
The thing I did today, I was like, I'm mad at myself. It all comes from within, like the lashing out, the saying the thing you didn't want to say. It's all like what we talked about 2 days ago in the podcast, like my self-esteem, my stress levels. And then you take them out on other people cause you can't handle them. And it just makes me feel just so bad, just like, I don't know, just completely lost as to how to perceive myself.
Dude, but we're, I mean, there's not justification for it, but whatever, like we're animals, like we are reactionary people. There's like two different parts of our brains, like the one that like feels
I'm trying my
best
things
and like, and then there's that fucking reactionary brain.
You know what the difference is? I'm not someone who's doing these things and not examining them and being like, I want to change.
Yeah,
they happen and I instantly am like, I don't want to be this person. And I'm meditating, I go to therapy, I journal, I work 12-step programs. Like I'm actively trying to be a better person. So I hope that if anything I can take from when I accidentally act out and do something wrong, it's that I don't want to be that way. It just sometimes slips out. Here with Andrew Collin. Last night we watched the second episode of Dating Around on season 2. I hope you also watched it and then checked out my Instagram story to see your reaction. People loved it, dude. I'm getting so many reactions of like, I would watch a show of just you and Andrew reacting to things. And the thing is, it's Andrew reacting and I'm just filming. But I gotta admit, I'm very good at directing and like capturing the funny moments, egging you on. You're genius in what you say. Like, you always nail it. I've always said that about you. Put the camera on Andrew. 99% of the time, he's going to say something hilarious. But it's a team effort. I'm good at filming. You're not as good at filming me for things.
No. But I also am not. I'm very, like, if you fuck up, there's, I'm not going to get mad at the director.
No, but if I... if you fuck up, we just do it again.
Yes. And right. A few times.
Yeah. Like I like to do things maybe four times to get them right.
I was worried that I actually did a very poor job. Like, I didn't feel as funny, but there were a couple.
No, it was so funny.
There were a couple really
I watched it this morning and I was laughing so hard.
Go down to the corner, get yourself a. Yeah, that
was
very
great.
Funny. And you
so
zoomed in. I can feel when you're zooming in.
Yes.
I feel
like we have a good talent director relationship.
Yeah. And I do think people would really like that. We could just pick a show.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about Hamilton. I haven't watched Hamilton yet because I'm threatened by it. And so we could watch Hamilton and do that with it.
Okay, yeah, let's do it tonight.
And maybe you film me and I film you, and then we splice it together and make, like,
yeah,
a story. You know, like, mm-hmm. we do it together.
Like when we did it with the running stuff.
Yes, that was so fun.
You're really good at that, too. Like, you could have been a great editor.
I know.
Or you are a good editor.
I am. Like, yeah. I am. That's nice that there's another career out there for me when I get canceled someday.
Yeah, sitting in the dark alone.
I mean, that would be great.
Neil
I
Brennan
do have
said
the
on my podcast that if he wasn't a comic, he'd want to be an editor.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah,
that's nice to consider that I could do that as a fallback.
Or sell cars.
No, I'd be
I
a
might
terrible
buy your
salesman.
Dad's car.
I know.
I actually have right in. So he has a Montero Sport. I think it's very cool looking.
Yeah,
it's like retro without being that old of a car.
I think it's like a 2004.
It has 114,000 miles on it.
It's so cool. It's like my favorite looking car on the road.
I Kelly Blue Booked it.
Yeah.
It's not like.
It's cheap as shit, dude.
You should charge me anywhere between.
Six. Four to six.
100, not 1,000.
Really? Is like, it that bad?
No, it's not that bad. It's just like, I think it went up to like 1,300. And I could be wrong. You could Kelly Blue Book it yourself. I don't know if it has four wheel drive.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
So anyways, but only like 1,300 or less.
Yeah. They would sell it to you. I really think they would. They have too many cars right now. TMC.
I know. I think supply demand, I could get a good deal.
Yeah. So what have you taken from I wanted to talk about a couple things. We watched Dating Around last night. That was really fun. We're going to watch something tonight. You're going to speed date tonight, which happened last night because we're listening to this on Thursday. I might speed date tonight or tomorrow, you guys. I don't know which. I'm really going to bring it. I'm going to try to be vulnerable and try to actually put myself out there. My assistant, Grace Ann, recently sent me the application for Love is Blind for the next season. Which I'm not opposed to doing that show. My only opposition is that I might not be ready to get engaged. And I feel like when you go on these shows, you have to be ready to be engaged. And I'm just not at a place where I feel anyone should be engaged to me.
Yeah, I don't see you. You shouldn't do that show.
Why not? What I was thinking is I could do the blind dating show, the speed dating on Instagram and put a blindfold on. That way I don't have to read the comments because the comments make me so upset. And
I wonder if you could turn comments off Instagram Live.
No, that's not fun for people because that's what is so much of the fun of watching it is like reading.
But they
comments.
Want you to read it because there are going to be a lot of positive ones that want to interact with you.
You're right. It's difficult.
I don't think you should blind. I just think like out of the dating shows, like I wouldn't mind seeing you on Dating Around.
I'd love that.
But Love is Blind is just like it's a cheesy fucking gimmick show.
But one of the couples is still together.
One of them.
Yeah, out of five.
Yeah, but it's.
I just know
like,
I would be one of the couples that didn't find anyone because I don't think I'm ready to get married. I don't want to be married yet.
No, and not in fucking 5 days.
Yeah.
No, dude. But it would be funny. You could have fun with it, but I just don't know how, like.
I wouldn't take it as seriously
exactly.
as other people. And I am just so shallow that I think the looks thing, if they didn't look the way that I wanted them to. It would gross me out and I would pull a Jessica and just be like, he's too young for me. And that's the problem. And like, just be a baby and get drunk and like flirt with and be like, I'd be obsessed with the guy who's the bad boy that would not really like me. Then he would choose someone else who's hotter and younger. And I would be jealous. And I could just see that.
Yeah. A fun show would be like how hot the guy is compared to like what he does or like how famous he is.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, depending on how famous and successful he is, he could be uglier.
Right.
You know, it'd be funny to see exactly what your match would be, like level of success wise versus.
It's not even success. Can I just say what I'm really attracted to? Or fame?
Very
it's not
good
fame.
At what they do.
It really is like when I'm impressed by their skill level at whatever they do. And most of the time it's like a reel that they send me. Like I agreed to go out with that one guy because his reel was so impressive.
Send you a reel.
And then, yeah, send me a reel. The guy that I met on speed dating the other night just sent me a trailer for his movie that he made. And once I see that, I'll decide if I want to go out with him. But I really, like, if I don't respect your work, it's shit, that's never going to work.
Yeah, but then, okay, I'm with you there. Mm. But I would, no, I'm kidding.
You could have had that tone, but it took a different tone. Yeah, I know. Appreciate it.
I would agree with you. However, I have seen you be attracted to people from, like, The Bachelor that can't do shit other than have a lot of followers and have a lot of fame.
No, that's not true. Let me just say the two guys I've been attracted to from The Bachelor, Nick Vial.
What does he do?
I really, when I, let me be honest with you.
I'm listening.
I really liked
his
season.
I'm sorry, my eyebrows went up.
No, I really, not only is he very attractive, I thought he handled himself well on that show. He never seemed like a bad person to me. I felt like he was very vulnerable.
But where's the talent?
That talented is being, well,
at being himself, at being comfortable on a camera, by not seeming like a jerk because he could be lying so he looks better on TV.
Well, I will say that he has had a very good career since then. He has parlayed being on The Bachelor into, like, an actual podcast that has a lot of listeners. He is an entrepreneur. He, like, tries different things. He's constantly working. He's not, like, a lazy person that just has ridden on that. Like, he is impressive. There's just no doubt about it. And then Trevor, the guy the other night from the Instagram Live that was on Listen to Your Heart. The only reason I was attracted to him was not only because he was cute, so it's not the only reason, Oni, but he...
Okay, I have an argument for this one.
Okay, he also... I fell for him on The Bachelor because he was so freaking vulnerable on one episode, and it was, like, so hot to me because he was like... Chris Harrison came in the room, the host of The Bachelor, and was like, "So, eliminations are tonight. How are you guys feeling?" Like, a cursory kind of, like, how you guys are feeling to a whole room. And he goes, "Trevor, how are you doing?" And Trevor was just like, "To be honest, I'm really scared, and I have a lot of feelings for that." Like, he just, like, said all of these feelings that no one really asked for, and I was like, wow, he's really, like, in touch with that, and that was super sexy to me. And add to it, he's an amazing singer. He went really far in American Idol, and he's just a talented musician.
When you got the DM from him, mm-hmm. when did you see the DM, before or after he got on the show?
After he got on the show. Okay. He had DM'd me in October, and I started watching the show in March.
Okay, because I was going to argue, if you saw that DM before he got on the show and you didn't write him back.
Yeah, I did. I didn't see it.
Didn't want to just be just talent.
No, I didn't. I didn't see. Oh, I did see the DM, actually.
Oh,
I did.
Why didn't you write back because until he got on the show?
No, I didn't write on until I didn't write him back until I saw the vulnerable moment on the show.
And but you saw that he was talented with music.
Yeah, that added. I didn't really watch his music, to be honest. I wrote to him and I go, you know what I did? I saw that he had too many shirtless beach selfies that were kind of like thinking about this next year and what it's going to bring. Yeah. And it's just like him
looking
shirtless.
At the sunset.
Yeah, holding a surfboard.
A crab.
Yeah. And that kind of like was like, all right, I'm not taking this guy seriously. Then he had the vulnerable moment and I was like it.
So I think talent and celebrity, I'll meet you at 65-35.
You're not attracted to celebrity and talent?
I am. I'm not judging it,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not denying it.
Right.
So if someone's has a million followers, there's a strong chance that I'll want to date them more.
Right.
Even if they're not as attractive or as cool as someone that's not.
Yeah, everyone thinks that I only go for blue check marks, but I honestly entertain everything. There's this other guy that I met. He came to my show, and I remember meeting him in Sacramento like 2 years ago. He drove all the way to my show. I didn't know how far, but he was by himself at my show. He waited in the meet and greet line. He was at the end of the line. He's really tall, handsome, kind of like shy. And we took a picture together and like had a moment. And I was just like, wow, that guy's cute, but all right. And then he slid into my DMs later and was like, "Hey, I'm in LA sometime. Let's get coffee." And I was like, okay, never happened. Turns out this guy is like a filmmaker. I watched some of his stuff and I was like, wow, like super impressed by it. He has a TV show out. I watched that and I was like, oh my God, this guy is so funny. He directed it. He wrote it. He starred in it. He aced all of those, like, so hot to me. And then we started talking again because I was just like, hey, I saw your show. It's amazing. And we never met up, but that elevated him to me so much. Like, took him from being like, oh, I'll entertain this coffee and then I'll ghost him because I'm too scared to get to know someone in
LA. Did you watch any of his stuff before it got made into an actual TV show and you knew that he...
Yes, I had watched it and it was good, but it wasn't enough for me to like really get a sense of him.
So it had nothing to do with more... Well, I guess that TV show.
He looked so good shirtless in this TV show too. I can't deny it.
Holding a surfboard, looking out.
Yeah, it's just such a funny show. just guys being funny and making things that make me laugh. I mean, I get really horned up for it.
Yeah, with a six pack, with no shirt on.
No, they don't even need that, to be honest. I've been interested in some real schlubby dudes. But I mean, what is, if you could envision the perfect person to DM you and be like, hey, I'm interested in you. Is there a girl out there? Like a perfect version of that?
Yeah. And honestly, she doesn't have to be famous. I'm saying though, like, there is like, I was just being honest about the million thing, but that's not the girl technically that I'm like, that I'm searching for. I think, I don't know. I really like nurses for mm-hmm. some reason.
Yeah.
I've met a few in the last 2 years that I really just like.
Yeah. Nurses have a good sense of humor. They've seen a lot of like, shit.
Yeah. They go through.
They're passionate about what they do.
They're passionate about what they do. They think outside themselves. They see horrible drugs. Things on a daily basis. So their humor tends to be extremely dark.
Because yes.
It's not. Talk about traumatic things.
Yeah. I think guy nurses are hot too.
I love a female nurse. I love anyone that thinks outside of themselves.
Yes.
Because I think so much about myself.
Right.
And I'd like to get some of that into me.
You'd like to have someone think outside themselves so they can think more about you. Because you're
And if I'm sick or not, and if I should go. No, I was.
Oh yeah,
I was
like hypochondriac side of you just want someone.
Just watch me sleep and check out my apnea so I don't have to buy a CPAP.
Yeah. Speaking of sleeping, you didn't sleep last night.
It's fucking hot in this house. And like that room, like I should sleep with the door open.
Right.
But I like to sleep pantless.
And you don't
pantyless,
want me. Yeah, yeah.
But I don't want you to see.
Here's my idea. It's like, I think you should sleep in my parents' room, just on top of their comforter so you don't mess up the bed.
Yeah.
And then have a blanket on top of that because it's really cold down here.
Well, your mom just heard this, so.
I know. My mom listened to the podcast against
my best
wishes. I
could also sleep on that couch. Also, that couch that I decided to sleep on, the cushions fall off.
I mean,
crazy.
It's terrible. But what do you think overall about this, like my situation here? What do you think?
I like your situation other than I think you're on an island, even though you're in the middle of the country.
Yeah.
You're not around enough people. You could be isolated way too easy here, even though you're around family.
Do you not feel that way when you're in Connecticut at your brother's?
No, I do as well.
Mm.
But I just want to make it permanent.
Mm.
And I wouldn't want – I think this would be the next – if I were you, or if I'm me, I would like Greenwich, like living there, I would want to go to Denver, Austin, like another city where I could meet someone. And then, I mean, St. Louis isn't that small.
Right.
It feels small though, for some reason.
Would you move here? Especially if we got a reality show, would you move here and move into, would you be my roommate?
Yeah, I would do that. I mean, for a show.
Yeah. But what about not a show? I need a roommate.
I know. I couldn't live here. I could live somewhere.
Not in my parents' house, but if we got a place here.
No, but I'm saying, why would we stay here?
Oh, you mean in St. Louis? Because I have family and friends here that could start us off.
Start us off where?
Making other friends and expanding from there. I have a base.
Yeah, but who's your base here? I'm not trying to be a dick. Just saying, like,
I mean,
your base is.
We got Greg Warren. We got Sean O'Brien. We got my brother-in-law, who knows a bunch of people from his river company.
Yeah.
We got my neighbor, Grant. We got the original Night Stalker, who's going to murder us tonight.
The Eragon?
Eragons.
I don't know. I mean, part of me, I just like...
I can't get a new place without a roommate. I just can't do it.
I know.
I don't mind living with you either. I was thinking it would be terrible, but...
No, I'm a good roommate.
Yeah, last night was so fun. Like, instead of doing comedy every night, we just, like, watch shows. I made you watch Hot Girls Wanted.
You wouldn't move to Nashville.
I mean, I'd be open to it.
It's not far from here.
No, it's not. It's where Taylor Swift lives.
If I got... What would be fucking dope is if I got that show.
Right, you're going to do a shoot pilot.
And then you got your...
Reality show. But my reality show...
Not just a reality show, your
like a radio show, yeah.
I mean, it would be the best thing ever.
Yeah, I got to make the next leap. I don't know what it is. It might be off a cliff.
No, don't do that.
No, I won't. But I just feel so stuck. But things are looking up.
I'm not trying to say that this is a negative place for you either. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. But you also feel very at home here. I mean, it's just like...
So comfortable. It's such an incubated space. And like... I just feel safe. I feel loved. I feel constantly surrounded by someone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be alone.
I know.
And I feel like when I was in New York, I was constantly meeting up with friends. I had activities all the time. That just doesn't exist there anymore. I wonder what people do that just don't have friends. I think I would just like go insane
Well, I did that. I mean, I went insane. No, but like I lived in West Palm Beach. I didn't know that many people there. This is before New York. So I joined
meetup groups,
a kickball team.
Right.
And I met this one guy that was on the team. He's a dentist. And then he knew, like, it takes you one, but then you always feel like the outsider of a new friend group, which is always a tough situation.
Yeah.
But then again, it's like the older I get, it's like I'm not dying to go out. I just want to be productive any city I'm in. Mm-hmm. I want to be in good shape. I want to, you know, but I also want to meet interesting people.
I want to garden.
Yeah. I mean, that's.
I want to want to read a book in a hammock. I want to want to do yoga. I'm going to get into yoga. Someone wrote me today and was like, keep meditating, go to a yoga retreat, find yourself. She said she was very sad for me that I had no hobbies.
I still think the boxing could be good.
Yeah.
I love boxing.
Why am I not open to it?
Because you won't be good at it at first.
Mm.
But you will. You're athletic. I could teach you how to punch. I'll teach you how to punch after this podcast.
Okay. You?
It's so easy. I'll punch my hands, my little hands.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll think about it.
But I like the idea of us moving to a cool city.
We could go anywhere.
That's what I'm saying. But I not
Denver.
Me, unless this pilot doesn't get it picked up, I'd move to
Denver.
It's
not going to. No offense.
It will.
Nothing gets picked up.
Yes,
Andrew.
It will.
I mean, I know that you will have a show someday that gets picked up.
Want to bet?
Okay, yes, because usually I lose these bets. Okay. When I bet Bobby Bones that he wouldn't win Dancing with the Stars because I was positive of it, he fucking won.
What did you bet him?
I just was like, I bet you anything.
A blowy?
No, I was just shut up. I just was like, there's no chance you're ever going to win. He was like, absolutely there is. So if you really believe in it, yeah, it's going to happen.
But why would you throw that negativity out in the existence? Like, because why do you say it like that?
Because I think it's as counting on that. I've just done it so many times in my life. And
but it's
like,
been picked up. You've had 3 shows.
I'm talking about before those, when I was first getting started, there were opportunities that I was like, this is going to change everything around. And then it didn't. And it was that much more devastating. So I guess let me try to be positive for you. I think that you're going to find that this is something you want to do. And then I think it could get picked up. Yes. But
does it have to do with me or just the show or just shows in general?
It shows in general. Okay. It's just like, I just
so
think
I
you're
won't
naive.
Take it personally.
No, you're so talented. I could make, I believe in you more than any, like, I think you're one of the most talented people I've ever met in terms of comedy. But I just think that shows don't go, and especially shows that are good.
Yeah, but I don't think the show is that good.
Okay, then it's going to go. Okay, well, we'll wrap it up.
We'll see you in Nashville.
Yeah, see you there. If you guys have any ideas where we should live next.
I think the top 3 right now are Nashville, Denver, Austin, and then LA is in there.
Austin's so fucking hot all the time, right?
It's fucking 98 degrees.
And all they
right
do
here.
Is drink.
No, they don't. They go out on the lake.
There's I don't have any friends in Austin.
I have a lot of friends in Austin. Young, hot friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so old.
No, you shut up, dude.
I am 36. It's like no one's interested in that. If they are, they're like divorced and have kids.
What about Miami? No, Miami's too sexual.
Yeah, no. I'm going to fail in Miami. I mean, I'll stand out because I'm pasty and have no ass, but not in a good way.
Here's the thing why Nashville is cool.
Uh-huh.
Is because there is
a scene.
A scene.
Nicole Kidman's there. I saw her at Starbucks once.
Who?
Nicole Kidman.
Boom. She dates
Taylor Swift, Nicole Kidman.
Dude, there's a ton of country stars. We know one comic.
Yeah, Nate.
We are very good friends with the Zanies girl. So when comedy comes back, you could literally get up there whenever the fuck you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You literally could get up any weekday.
I don't know. After I canceled this week.
Yeah, and I take that back.
There might have a certain bitterness. Okay, we got to get ready to go stand-up paddleboarding.
Comedy Works would be fun in Denver, too.
Yeah. Well, look out for me announcing my – I might be dating tonight on Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern or Friday, 10 p.m. Eastern. But check my Instagram. I'll let you guys know. Thank you so much for listening. Until tomorrow. And if there's any topics you'd like me and Andrew to talk about on the show, I would love to get into them. So send them my way. DM me. DM Andrew. Andrew T. Collin. Check out his Puddles podcast, which I'm going to do an episode of while we're here.
No? A live one with a ring light during the day.
Yeah.
Extra light.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Squirt, squirt. Jackpot.
What?
Yeah.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.